How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into the broadcast again this week, and we're going to pick it back up here in Mark chapter 6, where we left off last time. King Herod, there over Galilee, as we understand, that was the jurisdiction that the Lord Jesus Christ was in, and the Lord Jesus Christ at the time of his crucifixion, just before Pilate sent him to Herod, who happened to be in Jerusalem at the time. And so we understand that to be Herod's jurisdiction, Galilee, and maybe part of Samaria and such. Herod has thrown a big banquet, a big party. He's, as it says here in verse number 21 of Mark chapter 6, and when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords. So it's his birthday. He made a supper to his lords, his captains, his chief estates of Galilee, and so on. That the daughter of the said Herodias, the woman that he had taken from his brother, an adulterous affair and situation, he had taken her to wife. This woman's daughter came in and danced. We don't know if this is Herod's niece or not, but if it is, it just makes it even worse situation. She came in and danced and pleased Herod and pleased them that sat with him. So it was just not before him, but before him and all his captains and lords and such. The king said unto the damsel, "Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee." And he sware unto her, "Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee into the half of my kingdom." And so this is a mighty man. This is a man that has soldiers. He has the ability to rule this region with an iron fist. He's able to control the region. That's the reason that he has it. That whole region of Judea and Samaria and Galilee, that whole region of the Middle East there, in the land where Israel occupied and such. He had to be a very strong and militant man to be able to rule that region. This was a day of insurrection, and Rome struggled to be able to get a handle on this region, to control this region. It's always been that way in that land. And so he was a man that was mighty, had soldiers, had great power, thought nothing of putting men to death. His word was supreme. But now, by the simple, well, not so simple, but the licentious dancing of a woman before him and his chief estates, his captains and his lords, he is willing to give to her up to half of his kingdom. And no doubt a wicked thought, a wicked desire that he has towards this young woman, and it's terrible for her to dance before him, terrible for him to watch and look upon this. He's got a wife, and it's wickedness for his stepdaughter to dance in front of him this way. I believe the scripture is telling us, again, this is, she wasn't clogging or square dancing or such as that. She was dancing in a very licentious way, just wicked, a wicked, wicked thing, wicked to be done, wicked to be watched. And so in verse number 24, let's see the result of this. I think this even brings the condemnation on it more. What's the result of this? And she went forth, verse number 24, and said to her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." I want the head of John the Baptist. He's willing to give up to half of his kingdom. I want the head of John the Baptist. You go ask for that. And so here she's got half of the kingdom. and she asked simply for the head of one man. Why is it that she's not willing to go ahead and leverage herself such to where she can go ahead and gain control of half of the kingdom? Well, the reason is by this wicked way, Herod being a man of low degree, and that he would willingly submit, voluntarily submit to such a thing, to the giving of the half of his kingdom, she knows she's got the kingdom already. And that any time that they want something, all it will take is the dancing of her daughter before this man to gain it. So she asks for the head of John the Baptist, because the rest of it she's got. In verse number 25, she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake he promised before all those that were there, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner, and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison, beheaded John the Baptist in the prison, and brought his head in a charger, and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. A righteous man of God, stating the truth and telling the truth, lost his life and lost his head because of his stand for righteousness and the wicked dancing of a young woman and the wicked conniving of her mother. Folks, we don't need pole dancing in our county. We just don't need it. How many men will there be that if such comes to our county, how many men will there be? And as I've mentioned before on earlier broadcasts, I believe that if it comes to Adairsville, the next stop will be Russellville. Once the precedent is set, there'll be no place in the county that will be exempt from it. There'll be no way to stop it, because it will have already gained a foothold. That's the reason that this issue is so critical. That's the reason that this time is so critical. And that the people of God in our county and otherwise, we need to pray. We need to pray that the Lord would thwart this thing. I mean, understand that not only the wickedness of it and the effect on men, how many men will go to such a place and give away that which they've worked hard for the sake of these women that will pursue this wicked thing? How many parts of fortunes will be lost? How many marriages will be compromised and be broken up? How many families will be broken up? How will it be that men will go and watch the daughters and the granddaughters and the nieces of others, or maybe their own kin and family, to do these wicked things? May God help us, and may the Lord be pleased that this thing not come to our county. We want to go over here to Matthew chapter 14 and just read yet another account of this, or another account of this same thing. And Matthew chapter 14, and I find it interesting that in two places in the Gospels, there being four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this very thing is mentioned, and by it being mentioned, the condemnation of it is there, and the effects of it are there. And may the Lord help us that we beware. Will a man be killed because of pole dancing in Logan County? I wouldn't think so. It wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility, of course, but that wouldn't be my expectation. But will lives be ruined? Will lives be affected? Will men, because of the ease and the closeness of it, will men be drawn into going and observing such and sell their souls and sell out their lives and sell out their families to involve themselves in this lewd, ungodly behavior and practice? May the Lord help us. Here in Matthew chapter 14, verse number 1, at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Herod, he was sorrowful that what he had done to John had taken place, wasn't he? And he was fearful of John coming back. He knew John was a just and a holy man. And he feared him. He had a sense of reverence, but he made this oath before these people, and so he kept it. But he yet feared even after John was dead. When he heard about the fame of Jesus, he thought it was John risen from the dead. Verse 3, for Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. And so yet again, the adultery there is mentioned. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. It's against the law of God. It's against the command of God. You shouldn't do this thing. Being a leader and a ruler in Israel, you should not be pursuing this. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. And so we have some more expansion there. He had maybe thought for Herodias to go ahead and put him to death, but he didn't do it because of his fearing of the people. They knew John was a prophet. But when when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. So here we see the wicked, sinful dancing before these men, a young woman, no doubt a beautiful woman, and no doubt performing this licentious dancing before these men. They were certainly motivated by it. It should not be. They were men there themselves that were married. No doubt Herod was. Herod was married. And his own wife's daughter dances before him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read over in Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, said there that to look upon a woman and lust after her in the heart is the committing of adultery. And so she dances before them. And it pleased Herod, verse number 7, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And the disciples came, verse 12, and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. So here again, we read this account, yet another account, two accounts in the scripture that tell about the details of it. And by the telling of it, certainly the scripture shows the condemnation of it, that it was wickedness. It's not that the scripture is neutral about this. This affair and this way led to the death of a man and the destruction of men. And may the Lord help us to see that in our county, we just don't need this wickedness. Brother Jim, some may say, well, Brother Jim, we've got other kind of wickedness in our county. What's more hurt? That's just it. We do have other wickedness in our county, and I'm sad for it. But we don't need to add more. And may we as the people of God, may we pray to our Lord that he would thwart the granting of this license, and that he would bring these efforts for this wickedness to be in our county to naught. And may we pray that the Lord would work in such a way. With God, all things are possible. And may the Lord's people stand up and be counted for truth and righteousness. And may the Lord's people pray that the Lord would work and intervene in this matter. I see that our time has passed for now. And I'm glad that you've tuned in. Farewell until next time. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.